Welcome to yet another installment of Chronicles of Mitem, the thrilling adventure novel where humanity battles the continuous challenges of their environment, facing one obstacle after another. Get ready to dive straight back into the action. No recap, no time to waste. Enjoy the ride.
A suspicious man within the crowd of Team Uno's send off dead, dead, dead. Team Uno, or Uno, whatever they are called, is weak. If this general is really willing to make a bad call like this, I have no choice but to do something about it. Or maybe I should wait for the other two generals to make mistakes. Still, this team is weak. The mission objective is to survey the forest and locate a source of food and water within a 16-hour time frame, but there's no way for them to keep track if they go into that forest. The branches are so close, they probably don't even let rainwater in. Looking at these five men and listening to their conversation earlier gave me a crude idea of their abilities. With some training, they can be rated on a 10-10 or 50-50 scale, but they are all just a bunch of weaklings on a 5-5 scale, all but that one promising man, Team Uno members, and their estimated individual evaluation by a suspicious man in the crowd. 1. Timon, team leader, field of trade, geologist, welder, fitness evaluation. Speed, 2-5. Strength, 3-5. Perception, 2-5. Adaptability, 4-5. Survival skill, extensive knowledge of rocks, water sources, geological formations, and terrain analysis to locate potential water reservoirs. 2. Ben, field of trade, botanist, biologist. Fitness evaluation, speed, 3-5. Strength, 3-5. Perception, 3-5. Adaptability, 5-5, survival skill, proficiency in identifying edible and medicinal plants, as well as creating primitive medical products. 3. Mr. Major, field of trade, former military. Fitness evaluation, speed, 5-10, strength, 6-10, perception, 5-10, adaptability, 6-10, survival skill, advanced combat training, tactical expertise, and adaptability in challenging environments. 4. Scott, field of trade, hunter and trapper, fitness evaluation, speed, 3-5, strength, 4-5, perception, 4-5, adaptability, 3-5, survival skill, proficient in hunting, trapping, and procuring wild game for sustenance. 5. Toby, field of trade, Olympic athlete, fitness evaluation, speed, 8-10, strength, 3-5, perception, 4-5, adaptability, 2-5, survival skill, exceptional physical fitness, endurance, and adaptability honed through Olympic-level training. Detailed report. Report name, Team Uno. Entry hash 1, part 1 of 4, day 1. Forest ambiance. With a spirit of exploration driving them forward, the team embarked on their journey toward the forest's edge as the 10th hour drew near. Stepping across the threshold into the embrace of the forest's canopy, an immediate shift in temperature enveloped their senses. Serene tranquility took hold, accompanied by a gentle, caressing breeze. As they ventured deeper into the forest, the passage of time seemed to embrace them in a tapestry of scents. The air became saturated with the earthy fragrance of moist soil and decaying leaves, each step releasing a symphony of aromatic notes. Its crisp coolness invigorated their lungs while the soft breeze whispered through the foliage, weaving a harmonious symphony of soothing sounds. Upon entering the forest, a sense of magic enveloped the team. The air hummed with the melodies of unseen insects, their vibrant tunes harmonizing with the heartfelt songs of birds hidden among the dense foliage. The soundscape was a living orchestra, making it feel like they had stepped into a grand symphony. Nature itself conducted the atmosphere, an entirely new world where nature reigned supreme, and they were humble guests. With every step, the ground beneath their feet welcomed them with a soft, resilient bounce, adorned in a verdant carpet of moss that cradled their boots. Towering trees loomed overhead, their trunks reaching towering heights, their bark textured with gnarled patterns. Branches intertwined, forming a majestic leafy roof that allowed streams of sunlight to create a dappled golden pattern on the forest floor. Noteworthy were the tiny plants and ferns that embraced the tree trunks, reaching upward towards the sun's warmth. Delicate blossoms adorned their fronds, adding splashes of color to the emerald tapestry. This captivating sight held their gaze, and they couldn't help but marvel at the intricate beauty of this enchanted woodland. The team stood amidst this wonder, utterly captivated by the marvels unfolding around them. They observed butterflies fluttering with delicate grace and reveled in the sweet melodies of distant birds whose plumage was like scattered jewels in the forest's green crown. It was a moment of pure awe, where the splendor of nature enveloped them, evoking a true sense of aliveness and connection. As the scout forged ahead, the team followed Timon, their senses attuned to the surreal beauty of their surroundings. They ventured deeper into the heart of the forest, eager to uncover its mysteries and embrace the unknown. Mr. Major's eyes scanned their leafy surroundings, excitement dancing in his gaze. "Look at those leaf frogs hiding within the leaves above us. They're native to Colombia. If we ever get hungry, that is some good mountain chicken right there. Oh shit, check out the size of those leafcutter ants crossing the branches and vines. Are we sure this isn't Earth or Earth 2.0? Ben, his face reflecting a mix of curiosity and exasperation, sighed heavily. "Man, I like what I see, but I don't have time for this nature shit. I shouldn't have traded my shoes when we first arrived here. But I assume this was going to be a running for survival situation, not a walk for hours in a forest with some dusty-looking men. Why are we even here? My legs are killing me. I want to go home. How long have we been walking through this forest? It feels like we're going 8 hours in a straight line and not a circle." Timon's brow furrowed with a hint of frustration as he responded, "Real talks? Why did you volunteer to come out here with us? I'm just following the signs on the rocks that will lead to the water source. These trees don't just live off sunlight. Then again, maybe they do. This isn't Earth." Ben grumbled, weariness lacing his words. "Well, I'm tired and hungry, and these soft sole shoes ain't cutting it. If we don't turn back soon, I might not have the energy to continue. Plus, you better tell your rocks to send you some signs to lead us back to the settlement." Mr. Major chimed in thoughtfully. "Perhaps it's a good idea to take a break and regain some energy for the rest of the expedition and reevaluate our location." Timon nodded in agreement. "You're right, Mr. Major. We can also take this opportunity to study the environment. Toby, could you please go to where Scott the Scout is and ask him to join us for a rest?" Toby, ever the obedient, replied promptly, "Yes, sir, I'll do that immediately." Timon shifted the conversation with a touch of amusement. "By the way, Ben, what shoes did you trade with?" Ben replied, hinting at practicality and regret. "Some rubber boots." Timon and Mr. Major exchanged amused glances, their voices in sync as they remarked, "What a stupid and smart man you are." Nestled on sturdy tree roots, the team found themselves embraced by the enchantment of the forest. Among them, Timon's keen eye caught the presence of unusually large earthworms wriggling beneath the blanket of dried leaves that lay upon the forest floor. In his inquisitive manner, his mind immediately spun theories. Perhaps the elevated oxygen levels in the air of this alien world accounted for their remarkable size. As he imparted his musings to the team, a hush descended, allowing all to bask in the surroundings' beauty and the forest's refreshing coolness. Within this tranquil moment, however, Timon's mind was not entirely at peace. He detected a subtle undercurrent in Mr. Major's suggestion to rest, a potential challenge to his authority. Insecurity tickled at him, but Timon brushed it aside. He acknowledged the necessity of asserting his leadership, ensuring the team's unwavering focus on their mission, and guarding against unwarranted distractions or untimely proposals, especially when it came from someone as capable as Mr. Major with his distinct perspectives on effective handling. The weight of responsibility tugged at Timon, driving him to sustain unity and effective leadership as they forged ahead into the alien world's uncharted expanses. Mr. Major sighed contentedly, his words carrying a hint of relief. "Ah, damn, it really is so peaceful out here, away from the hustle and bustle of the city. Woe was the days when we had to worry about traffic jams and crowded streets. Give me a second. Let me have a quick spread on the ground. I need to connect to the energy in the area." Ben reminisced with a nostalgic tone. "Yeah, those were the good old days. No honking horns or noisy neighbors, just the sounds of birds chirping and the gentle rustle of leaves." Timon acknowledged, his voice soft with contemplation. "Nature has its way of bringing tranquility to our souls. I could definitely get used to this peaceful environment. But this is just a vacation. Remember, we ain't staying here." Toby interjected with a playful grin. "And here I thought you were a city fowl, Timon. Starting to embrace your inner nature enthusiast, huh?" Timon chuckled in response. "Well, Toby, it's hard not to appreciate nature's beauty when surrounded by it. It's a refreshing change from the concrete jungle." Scott rejoined the group and shared, We traded our cylindrical skyscrapers for these tall green sunshades. Isn't God good? Mr. Major, suddenly alert, rose to his feet, his tone tinged with urgency. Hold on, did you hear that? It sounded like the scurrying of rats, like back in those cramped city apartments. Ben questioned with skepticism. Rats in the forest? That's a new one. Are we sure we're not just imagining things? Toby responded with playful sarcasm. Why is Ben, the biologist, an intelligent human adult, surprised that a rat might be in the forest? Rats are everywhere. It would be crazy to think that they only existed and will exist in a city-constructed environment. Whose man is this? Mr. Major silenced Toby with a firm tone. Be quiet, Toby. I'm telling you guys I heard something. Look, there it goes again. Something is darting behind that tree to the right. Oh, shit! Now it jumped forward to that tree on the left. It's playing games with us, right? Timon cautioned the group, his voice a blend of concern and determination. Whatever it is, it seems intelligent and clearly knows how to be elusive. We need to stay on high alert, everyone. Keep an eye out for any unusual movements. I do not want to be the prey to anything in this forest. Toby whispered in consideration. Should I go check it out, Mr. Major? It might just be rats at the end of the day. Mr. Major shook his head in response. No, Toby, we shouldn't split up. Have you never seen a movie? It's too risky. Just stay close and be ready for anything. Ben proposed thoughtfully. This isn't a movie. Maybe it's just a curious and mischievous forest rabbit out and about having some fun. Let's not make this about us. Furthermore, let's go over there and meet with the little creature and see if it reveals itself. Timon responded in a hushed tone. I'm not sure about that, Ben, and I'm damn sure not going to risk my life or anyone from this team's life to find out. You might have forgotten at some point, but this isn't Earth. We don't know what we're dealing with here. It could be dangerous. Let's stick together and maintain our numerical advantage. Toby interjected with a touch of sarcasm. Numerical? Who is this guy? Is using the word number beneath you? If you keep trying to sound smart with your words, I might begin to regret not walking with my thesaurus when I got kidnapped by God. Or should I say alien? Mr. Major signaled to the others, urging caution. Everyone, be cautious and stay close. Whatever is out there, it's getting closer with each movement. Let's proceed with caution and be prepared for anything. As the team grappled with the enigmatic and elusive presence, they stood in silence, their eyes meticulously scanning the surroundings for the faintest sign of movement. The forest exuded an eerie quietness, as if it possessed foreknowledge of what was to come, patiently awaiting the unfolding events. Amidst their cautious observation of the landscape, they hoped to catch even the slightest glimpse of something that deviated from the realm of foliage. On edge, Mr. Major offered a reassuring gesture, attempting to quell the heightened tension. Just then, a distant howling pierced the air, sending an involuntary shiver down their spines. Wolves! Ben's voice, a mixture of astonishment and concern, exclaimed, Please tell me we don't have Earth-like predators lurking here. I'm not sure I can handle that right now. Timon fired back with a quick response. I'm talking for nothing around here. I know for a fact I mentioned hearing wolves when we first appeared on this planet, and I mentioned it before coming into the forest. Abruptly, Scott's urgency cut through the moment. Quick, everyone! Look! Responding to his call, the team instinctively formed a defensive circle, their eyes fixed on what peeked from behind the towering tree. Their collective heartbeat accelerated as they beheld the spectacle that unfolded. A peculiar creature dangled from the branch, a fusion of rabbit and spider, with elongated legs extending about 4 feet from its body. What in the world is that? Timon's disbelief mirrored the astonishment that rippled through the group. The creature challenged simple categorization, blending the recognizable with the foreign in a way that defied easy classification. It sported rabbit-like features, long ears, round eyes, and a fur-covered body. Yet its additional legs bore no resemblance to a rabbit's. Instead, they extended like spider limbs from its sides, simultaneously delicate and powerful. These legs terminated in multiple segmented joints, the appearance bordering on the insectoid and surreal, suspending itself from the branch, the creature's gaze locked onto theirs, its large, dewy eyes radiating a curious intelligence. Soft fur covered its body, contrasting its spindly legs that stretched beneath. Its movements were graceful and purposeful, a testament to its adaptation to the alien surroundings. Mr. Major's tone carried a note of caution as he addressed the group, his focus unwavering on the creature. This is unlike any encounter we've had. For now, let's maintain a safe distance. While its appearance intrigues, we mustn't underestimate the potential danger it poses. The collective gaze remained riveted on the creature, absorbing its peculiar attributes. The label Bunny Rabbit Spiders fell short of encapsulating the intricate amalgam that defined this entity. It embodied a living paradox, a convergence of two distinct species that had no business coexisting. As they observed, the creature's rabbit-like head tilted, its legs twitching in an almost playful manner. A veil of uncertainty surrounded the creature's intentions, a mystery that captivated and unsettled the team. The very forest seemed to hold its breath as if anticipating the outcome of this charged encounter. Amid escalating tension, Toby's reactions appeared almost primal, his body attuned to an imperceptible threat that only he could discern. Within an instant, his eyes widened, and shallow breaths betrayed his mounting panic. An invisible vice gripped him, constricting his chest and blurring his thoughts. Adrenaline surged through his veins, his heart pounding in a primal rhythm. The creature before him ignited a primal and visceral fear, an overwhelming surge of dread that warned being in its proximity was perilous. Fear eclipsed rational thought, propelling his legs to action and urging him away from his companions. Footsteps thudded on the forest floor as he sprinted, quick gasps punctuating his labored breaths. His body seemed on autopilot, instinctually seeking distance as if his very life depended on it. The rest of the team watched, their faces a mix of bewilderment and concern, grappling to fathom what had prompted Toby's sudden flight. It wasn't that Toby doubted his teammates' competence. His instincts were guided by a profound sense of self-preservation, a visceral response to an incomprehensible threat. His actions weren't deliberate choices, but reflexes to a perceived peril his mind struggled to fathom. Meanwhile, Ben's intuition diverged. A gut feeling suggested the creature harbored timidity beneath its imposing exterior. This curiosity impelled Ben to step beyond the protective circle, drawn toward the creature. The mantle of leadership bore heavily on Timmins' shoulders as he confronted this perplexing conundrum. The creature confronting them defied all precedent, stirring a complex mix of fear and intrigue in Timmins' heart. As Ben cautiously approached the creature, seeking to gauge its reaction, conflicting thoughts churned within Timmins' mind. On one hand, Ben's actions were logical, a pursuit of knowledge. Close observation might unveil the creature's intent, offering insight on how to navigate this perilous juncture. Yet this logical approach was overcast by the looming specter of danger. The possibility of the creature exhibiting territorial tendencies or unpredictable behavior added an elevated level of danger to Ben's endeavor, putting both him and the team in a precarious situation. Moreover, if this alien creature happened to be a pack animal, the mere thought sent a shiver down his spine, leaving him cold with sweat. The forest itself seemed to respond to the unfolding drama. The air carried a tense undercurrent, thick with the scent of damp earth and a hint of something otherworldly. The chorus of birds, once harmonious, now held an anxious tremor, as if they too were bracing for an unforeseen outcome. Mr. Major, observing the unfolding events with a mix of concern and vigilance, couldn't help but feel a ripple of fear himself. The creature's unusual appearance and the conflicting responses within the team stirred his instincts. He remained on the alert, ready to act decisively if the situation took a perilous turn. Scott, always pragmatic, considered the various angles of their predicament. He weighed the risks and potential rewards of this encounter, his analytical mind processing the available information. His stance remained cautious, yet measured, an anchor of reason amidst the turbulence of emotions. As the team teetered on the precipice of uncertainty, the forest bore witness to this extraordinary standoff, a moment that could redefine their understanding of the alien world they now found themselves entangled with. As Scott remained watchful, he became captivated by the swaying of the tree branches. Their peculiar movement reminded him of the unsettling presence of the creature. Even though there was danger, the branches gave off the same eerie feeling as the creature did. Speaking urgently, Scott suggested that there might be more rabbit-like entities hidden in the shadows. Timmins' suspicions were now mirrored by another, intensifying his disquiet. The prospect of a collective of these creatures elevated the stakes, amplifying the urgency and vulnerability of their predicament. Amid the cacophony of thoughts, Timmin confronted a pivotal decision. Pursuing Toby, who had fled the scene, carried equal measures of peril and promise. Dividing from the group could spell their collective doom, yet abandoning Toby brought its own risks. Save one and lose one. Save two and lose all. Amidst Timmons' tumultuous thoughts, he grappled with the repercussions of Ben's and Toby's actions. The boundary between valor and recklessness blurred in this heightened moment. Though mere seconds elapsed in the corporeal realm, time stretched in Timmons' perception, affording him an eternity to determine their next move. However, Mr. Major, attuned and quick to appraise situations, preempted Timmons' response. He sprang into action with remarkable precision, flinging a stone towards Toby. The well-aimed projectile struck Toby's shoulder, causing him to stumble and fall. In a swift, resolute gesture, Mr. Major dashed toward Ben, who advanced toward the creature. With swift efficiency, he extracted Ben from danger's path, hastening their return to Timon and Scott, who remained steadfast, forming a defensive line against the encroaching entity. The atmosphere brimmed with tangible electric tension as the team grappled with the intricate web of their circumstance. Each choice bore a burden, and each action could tip the scales of fate. Timon's mind raced, the rhythm of his heartbeat echoing in his chest as he calculated the upcoming steps, each holding the promise of ensuring his team's survival. With the defensive formation intact, the team retreated gradually toward Toby's fallen position. Amid the charged air, Timon commenced a dialogue, seeking both clarity and resolve in the face of adversity. "Listen to me, everyone!" Timon's voice was authoritative as he addressed the team while being mindful to keep his eyes fixed on the monstrosity that was the bunny rabbit spider. "I do not have all the answers, but we need to stick together. I'm scared of this jungle mess, and I know this situation is just the beginning. During our journey among this forest, I've been keeping an eye on the moss that grows on the trees and rocks around here to determine our location. We entered the forest somewhere in the southeast, so directly behind that creature is the northwest, where the settlement should be located. This isn't entirely accurate, but it's a rough indicator. Moss generally prefers shady and damp conditions, so it might be more abundant on the north side of trees. I've been trying to find ant nests and study wind flow. I've even attempted to take directions from our shadows, but this forest makes it hard to pinpoint the sun, and this entire environment is a shady sanctuary for moss, so don't take my words as gospel, but we've been lost for quite some time." "Seriously, Timon?" Ben's voice dripped with disbelief and frustration. "Moss, ants, and shadows? You're acting like we're in some survival reality show. I can't believe we're lost in this mess, and you're talking about all these half-baked techniques. This jungle is so disorienting that I doubt even a compass would help at this point. Let's face it, your methods aren't exactly instilling confidence here. I'd rather focus on something practical, like finding a clearing where we can signal for help, or building a makeshift shelter. So unless you've got a real solution, maybe save the moss and ants talk for later," Timon responded, his tone defensive but determined. "Look, I get your frustration, Ben. None of us planned for this, and I'm well aware that my attempts might sound far-fetched. But in a situation like this, trying anything that might give us a clue is better than just sitting around feeling helpless. We're in uncharted territory, and yeah, maybe I'm grasping at straws here. But what's the alternative? Should we just give up and wait for rescue without trying anything? Guess what? Rescue ain't coming." Mr. Major intervened, his voice calm and composed. "Hey, calm down, you two. We still have a teammate we need to reach. Let's focus on staying vigilant. Toby, are you okay?" "Nah, you son of a bitch." Toby's voice was a mixture of pain and irritation. "My shoulder is messed up and this slimy, icky stuff is making my skin itch. It's all mucus-like, but surprisingly, it smells like Dove soap." "Slime?" Ben's voice held a note of caution. "Be careful. It could be some kind of poison." Toby's response held defiance tinged with curiosity. "Whatever it is, I think it might be edible. Aren't you hungry, Ben? Let's find a way to cook up this fluid that's oozing out from these weird egg-like sacs. It's both hard and soft, which makes it weird. I'm pretty sure I heard it pop and crack when I fell." Ben's voice held a hint of intrigue. "Egg sacs? Could it really be? I do need the proteins. Where are they exactly?" "Come look for yourself," Toby invited. "They seem to be tucked away under the soft moss in this area of the forest. I wonder if it tastes like raw eggs or bubbles." Timon's tone held urgency as he addressed Toby. "Toby, listen to me. Whatever you do, please do not consume that fluid and try not to move. We don't want that creature or any others that might be around to suddenly become interested in you as a meal. Those eggs belong to something. And let's hope and pray it's not these bunny rabbit spiders." Mr. Major offered a plan. Let's try to move faster towards Toby in the mossy area. Whatever you do, do not take your eyes off the bunny spider. Ben's tone was cautious as he spoke to Toby. Hey, Toby, do me a favor and stay calm. Try not to get that slime too much on your skin. I have a bad feeling about it. Toby's voice, gritting his teeth, held a mix of compliance and irritation. Yeah, I'll keep my cool. But seriously, this itch is driving me crazy. And about the slime, I get your concern. But we're not exactly in a 5-star restaurant right now. If this goo could give us some energy, I'm willing to risk it. I'm so hungry I could fuck a horse. Timon interjected, his tone laced with disbelief. Listen, man, that horse thing isn't a saying. Also, there's a lot of slime on you. If we didn't know better, it almost looks like a horse fucked you. The team shared a moment of lightness, their chuckles breaking the tension, but their eyes stayed steadfast on the bunny spiders before them. Mr. Major's voice shifted the focus back to survival. Let's not make any rash movements, guys. There is no time for humor, only survival. We need to find a way to help Toby and make sure we don't attract any more unwanted attention from those bunny spiders. We're in this together, so let's stay focused and figure this out one step at a time. Plus, in a few more steps, we will be by Toby. Scott suggested a course of action. Let's just run towards him. The stone hit him in the shoulder, not the leg. Why isn't he coming to us? Ben quickly responded with a giggle in his throat. Listen, you're a man of few words, but your words are usually packed with some facts, my boy. Toby carefully examined his hands and arms, which were smeared with the strange slime, and started to panic. Stay calm, he mused. Is it serious? It must be serious if you want me not to worry. Right? What if it's some kind of estrogen slime and I grow a pussy at the end of my penis, or perhaps it's poisonous? As his heart raced, goosebumps erupted on his skin, and he couldn't shake the feeling of an allergic reaction creeping in. Moments later, Toby's voice echoed out, Ouchie! You stepped on me! The team had finally reached him just as the bizarre sensations from the slime began to affect his nerves. Disgust twisted his features as the warped sensations took hold. Guys, what the fuck is going on right now? What is this shit all over me? The moment you made contact, it's like my body began to interpret everything as a subtle, yet slowly increasing pain. Ben responded firmly, aiming to bring a sense of control. My guy, chill! No one told your ass to run. If you had stayed with the team, you wouldn't have landed yourself in this literal mess. Just stand up and save us from having to touch you. Timon's voice cut through the rising tension. All right, everyone, let's not lose focus. Toby made a mistake. But whatever this slime is, let's stay on task and quickly escape this situation and find food and water. When we locate that water source, we can wash him off there, and all should be well. In the meantime, let's stay cautious and avoid touching him or the slime. Scott added his agreement with a nod. I'm on board. And do we really need to get any closer? I suggest Toby walks a small distance ahead or behind us, ensuring that whatever alien slime he's coated in can only target him and not all of us. Toby's throat emitted a loud gulp, his panic intensifying. Am I really going to die? Is this thing poison? Listen, I can't handle this. I'll crawl back to the settlement right now if I have to. Please tell me I won't die. You guys, you have to help me. Guys! Mr. Major's gaze shifted from the creature to Toby, his stare cold as steel. Silence, you fool! If you keep up this fucking noise, I'll silence you myself before the creatures around us come to investigate. This isn't a game. It's life or death with enemies all around. Your voice, energy, or pheromones could trigger these creatures into an aggressive frenzy. Please get a hold of yourself. Timon's astonishment at Mr. Major's response stirred a mixture of frustration and unease within him, a turmoil that seemed to penetrate his very soul. He questioned whether these emotions stemmed from fear or perhaps a tinge of jealousy, leaving him in contemplation. Regardless, Timon felt threatened. Giving Mr. Major a tense side-eye, he spoke up. Hey, man, was that really necessary? We, regular civilians, haven't undergone the same training as you military personnel. Toby might not have ever been in a forest before today. Give him some leniency. He made a mistake. Give us some time to process all of this. Our survival instincts might be slower to kick in. Don't compare us to you. Mr. Major retorted sharply, his voice laced with desperation. Leniency? Bitch, tell those fucking bunnies to give us a break. They're just observing and keeping us on edge. I've been tense, anticipating an attack, and I'm fed up with all of you not taking this seriously. If these foes were tigers or wolves, we'd be dead 10 times over. Treat this with seriousness, or I'll be the sole survivor. I swear it on all of your family's lives. An undeniable tension hung in the air, enveloping the wooded surroundings, and every member of the group felt its weight. Encircling Toby, Mr. Major, drawing upon his experience, allowed his gaze to drift from the creature once more, taking a quick scan of the surroundings. A discerning eye caught variations in the ground's coating of moss, some patches heavier than others. While their current spot had a light layer of moss, Toby's landing area was buried beneath a dense one. Did the bunny spiders place their egg sacs beneath the heavy moss? The thought weighed on him. Mr. Major, his composure restored, shattered the silence by directing his attention to Timon. "Mr. Leader," he began, his tone steady but laced with a desperate urgency, "you're a fine individual, but remaining here is not a wise choice. Observe the ground. The thick moss has me concerned. I suggest we move away and confront this bunny creature in a new location. We need distance from whatever this entails. Now!" Ben, nodding in agreement, chimed in with a sense of desperation. "Sound advice. We can't be certain these patches can support our weight, especially with Toby's hulk-like legs crushing them. I suspect they're barely holding us." Meanwhile, as Ben spoke, Scott's hands silently gripped a stone, serving as a gesture for silence among the group. A seasoned hunter and tracker, Scott's skills were known only to himself. Every holiday back on Earth, he had indulged in hunting, a tradition that held sentimental value since his father's passing. Over time, Scott had honed an ability to sense truly dangerous creatures, and in this moment, he felt his throat constricting with foreboding. "Guys, I'm not convinced discussing this here was wise," he admitted, his voice fraught with desperation and fear. "I sense an unseen presence watching us." Timon interjected, echoing Scott's prior sentiments, his voice tinged with the same desperation. "We're aware. You've mentioned it earlier. Conceivably, more bunny spiders could lurk around, concealed by trees and canopies." Scott's plea held urgency and desperation. "Please stop talking and listen. We are in real danger now, and our window to relocate is no longer feasible." As the group huddled even closer, attempting to formulate a plan, a breeze stirred, causing the tree's canopy to sway. Gradually, light pierced the dim forest floor, much like the moment when lights dim in a suspenseful movie scene. Previously comforting sounds now evolved into dread-inducing noise. Amid their proximity, they discerned cracking and popping sounds, one after another. The team listened, piecing together the puzzle Toby had stumbled upon. In hushed tones, Ben and Mr. Major exchanged insights, their voices laced with desperation and urgency. "This area is a nesting ground for these eggs." Lacking definitive proof, the group conjectured that the eggs, presently rupturing, likely belonged to the bunny rabbit-like spider creature they had encountered. Turning to Ben and Scott, Timon spoke softly, desperation evident in his words. "Given your knowledge of Earth's creatures, how might a spider or rabbit as predators track and capture us?" A brief pause followed as the two pondered. Ben theorized spiders might employ vibrations, while Scott proposed rabbits could rely on their sense of smell, their voices heavy with the same sense of desperate urgency. Timon contemplated the information. Scott seized the moment to propose that Mr. Major, armed with defense and survival training, might offer their best chance of survival. He believed Mr. Major possessed the skills to confront the creature alone, with the possibility of the team providing support if necessary. Timon absorbed Scott's suggestion, acknowledging its logic. However, a latent resistance surged within him once again. He yearned to lead the expedition, the dependable figure his team relied on. Leaning towards Mr. Major's solution felt akin to challenging his own leadership, stirring a defiant sentiment within him. Amid this internal turmoil, a dense quiet descended as Timon and his team confronted their grim reality. They stood at an impasse, no escape in sight, and Toby by their side. Fear's grip tightened. Detecting their unease, Mr. Major stepped to the fore and commandingly said, "Form a circle and prepare to engage." Toby, his voice trembling with fear, interjected, "This is insane. I didn't sign up for this, darn. Are we really going to fight these monsters?" Fear had a firm grip on Toby's mind, each thought echoing with dread. He questioned the sanity of their situation, his heart racing as he looked at the approaching creatures. Timon, struggling to contain his own anxiety, replied, "We have no choice, Toby. It's fight or be overwhelmed. We need to stay together and be ready for anything." As the team stood their ground, a perception of distortion seemed to alter their visual space, causing once tranquil shadows to stir. Gradually, eerie forms materialized from the depths of those shadows, dancing among the leaves of the encircling trees. The bunny spider creatures, their bizarre blend of fluffy bodies and spindly limbs, stealthily advanced toward the perplexed group. Fear and uncertainty thickened the air. In an instant, Toby yielded to panic, his senses engulfed by the surreal events unfolding before him. His vision blurred, and he surrendered to an overwhelming sense of dread, collapsing unconscious. Now confronted by these enigmatic, menacing beings, the team encountered a surge of trepidation. Guided by scant evidence, they assumed the creatures were herbivores. Yet, an unspoken awareness spread among them, acknowledging the potentially sinister nature hidden beneath their seemingly harmless exterior. Observing the rabbits' slow, anticipatory movements amid the trees, their twitching legs hinting at concealed aggression, which underscored their imminent threat, poised to strike with lethal intent. Among the group, Scott remained the most vigilant and apprehensive. Throughout the ordeal, he hardly moved, his motions measured and his voice subdued, a bastion of calm and composure. However, an abrupt shift seized Scott, his typically steady demeanor shattered as his trembling hand grasped Mr. Major's wrist. In a hushed, urgent tone, he conveyed instructions to the others, urging them to remain composed, maintain silence, and place unwavering trust in him. In the midst of the hushed murmurs of whispered discussions and plans, a faint sound, eggs softly shifting against one another, became entwined with the surrounding ambiance. However, before another utterance could escape, a succession of cracks and popping sounds pierced the air. Several eggs quivered and splintered, triggering a surge of alarm within the team. The truth became clear. The eggs were beginning to hatch. A strange blend of wonder and dread permeated the atmosphere as the first eggshell split open, revealing a minuscule, spindly creature with dewy, oversized eyes. Its limbs twitched, emitting an eerie, high-pitched sound reminiscent of countless insect feet scuttling on tiled floors. One eggshell broke, then another, as if triggering a cascade. The forest floor seemed to pulse with vitality as an increasing number of creatures emerged, their nascent forms coated in a translucent sticky membrane. The team's hearts pounded in synchrony, a symphony of anxious beats as they braced for the imminent onslaught. The previously concealed multitude of bunny rabbit spiders now unveiled themselves. Popping and cracking sounds reverberated from the ground, amplifying the tension in the air. In a surge of protectiveness, the bunny spiders lunged towards the team, their movements both swift and aggressive. Just when hope teetered on the brink of dissolution, an unexpected, resounding howl rent the darkness, echoing through the forest. Several wolves materialized from the shadows, propelling the assumed predators deeper into the woods. Involuntarily shuffling back, Team Uno gripped whatever dry section of clothes they could and hauled Toby with them. Taking this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, they retreated further into the enveloping darkness just before collapsing, their bodies quaking with fear and fatigue. The ground beneath the moss shifted and crackled. The sound radiated outward once more, signaling further egg hatching. The forest seemed to hold its breath, its auditory landscape dominated by the eerie cries of emerging creatures and the distant wind-carried howls of wolves. The baby spider bunny-like beings, their true identity now revealed, scurried on spindly legs, quick, erratic movements. As the spider bunnies began to explore their new world beneath the moss, some even breaking out to the surface of the moss, their minuscule footfalls composed an eerie symphony resonating through the clearing. A sensation of bugs skittering across tiled surfaces reverberated within the team's minds, eliciting spine-chilling shivers. The once tranquil forest had shape-shifted into a tableau of suspenseful uncertainty as the ground beneath their feet pulsed with vitality, birthing these enigmatic creatures. Then, mere seconds later, silence descended, a void as though the myriad of newly hatched creatures had evaporated. Timmons' voice broke the oppressive silence like a pebble's ripple in a still pond as he commanded, "Remain vigilant." Fear had etched itself onto Timmons' face, his mind racing to devise a plan. He wasn't a soldier or a hunter, but he recognized that once the wolves were done repelling the bunny spiders, the latter would likely return to their newfound food source. The team's trail wouldn't prove difficult for them to follow, spelling doom unless a viable plan or some miraculous access to firearms appeared. fervently scouring the ground for large enough items to counter the relentless creatures, which they anticipated encountering further in the forest. They were left crestfallen. The area yielded only twig remnants and modest stones, a realization that sunk their spirits. Scott exclaimed, "We're fucking dead! What kind of forest doesn't have decent variants of sticks in it?" Mr. Major tried to reassure them, "It's all right. The weapons we have must be sufficient. We're left with no other choice." Scott replied, "Speak for yourself. I'm not sure when it was that you got weapons, but as you can see, we only have our fists." "Fuck, you mean the weapons we have?" Ben chimed in. "This must have been a nesting ground for the bunny rabbit spiders. They likely cleared the area of potential threats to their offspring." "Yeah, fuck this, Miss Frizzle Energy Forest having ass field trip," Mr. Major cursed. "I detest this forest. We endured the hatching of hundreds of those things, the popping and bursting of the egg sacs and the crackling of their newly formed exoskeleton-like legs are seared into my mind. The scraping sound their legs make when they brush against each other sends shivers down my spine. Hearing you talk about these creatures like some scientist on a magical field trip is giving sacrifice energy." Timon shared, "I felt those creatures scurrying beneath my feet when the wolves intervened. It was akin to a sea of roaches as the moss undulated. Look at the ground. It's still in motion. These bunny spiders could become problematic with such prolific reproduction and growth." Ben quickly interjected, "Also, can we settle on a name for these creatures? I can't keep switching between bunny, rabbit, and spider. How about Bididder? Or perhaps Spunny?" "Hearing the options," Mr. Major suggested. "Spunny sounds cute and clever. I'm on board," Ben agreed. Timon couldn't believe his ears, exclaiming, "I can't believe what I'm hearing right now. This is reality. Remember the speech you just gave, Mr. Major? Let's concentrate. You're doing the same thing we were mocking earlier. Plus, did you forget those wolves might return to finish what the Spunnies didn't? Because I haven't." As gaps opened in the canopy, casting light onto the disappointed Timon, Mr. Major noticed a dried, unusually sharp branch wedged into the base of a tree root. He attempted to break it and, as it bent, caught a glimpse of its cross-section, almost dropping it in astonishment. Quickly, he showed the branch to Ben for a second opinion, seeking confirmation that this was indeed reality. Lost on an alien planet, surrounded by a mysterious forest, strange discoveries shouldn't be surprising, right? "Hey, call me crazy, but Ben, is this what I think it is?" Mr. Major questioned. Ben's eyes zeroed in on the cross-section of that small, sturdy branch, illuminated by a sliver of light sneaking through the canopy. The realization dawned on him, a flicker of hope igniting within his eyes. This stick, found by Mr. Major, might just be their salvation. A grin crept across his face as he examined the bark, looking for the telltale signs that marked its potential. "Running around searching for ideal weapons isn't feasible right now. Let's take a moment to collect some lengthy sticks with reach and thickness. Look out for branches or sticks showing grayish or blackish rings in their cross-section. They could be valuable if they are what I think they are," Ben advised, his mind racing to make sense of their dire situation. Toby, ever the comic relief, chimed in with a humorous note in his sweetest singing voice. "A superstar?" Scott, however, hushed him down with a touch of urgency in his tone. "Shut up, Toby!" Then he carried on singing. "Then have no fear. The camera's here. And the microphones. And they want to know. Oh, yeah. Despite the tense circumstances, Scott and Toby found a brief moment of camaraderie in their banter, their laughter a temporary respite from the fear and anxiety that loomed over them. Meanwhile, the rest of the team stayed focused, diligently scanning the uneven ground for potential weapons. Moving away from the wolf encounter zone, they scoured the forest for young plants with suitable stems, collecting vines along the way. With makeshift weapons in their hands, fashioned from the found branches and vines, they braced themselves for what lay ahead, the determination to survive evident in their eyes. In the dark recesses of the forest, they trod cautiously, every sense heightened, clutching their improvised weapons tightly. Toby, though struggling to maintain consciousness, was resolute, determined not to succumb. It was a battle for survival, and they were all in it together. Ben examined the stick fragment, peeling away layers of bark in awe. The natural carbon fiber structure within fascinated him, hinting at an understanding beyond the ordinary. It was a marvel, a mystery unfolding within the heart of the alien forest. Their journey took a sudden turn when Mr. Major, keenly perceptive, halted Ben mid-sentence, a serious urgency in his voice. "Form a circle. The wolves are back. As the wolves emerged from the shadows, scarred and hungry, Mr. Major held two makeshift weapons, drawn and held X-like before him, ready to fight and intimidate. However, a sudden, unsteady movement to throw his arms down to his sides off-balanced him, causing him to stumble outside the protective circle they created, a perilous moment in their already desperate struggle. Without missing the opportunity, the wolves lunged forward, teeth gleaming and claws poised to strike. Timon and Scott reacted swiftly, pulling Mr. Major back within the protective circle, thwarting the assault and countering with their makeshift weapons, which failed to hit their mark as the wolves jumped back to evade. Just from the sudden movements, the team was out of breath, sweating almost as if they were taking part in a marathon, bodies tense while eyes darted back and forth from wolf to wolf, tracking their movements as they wived between the trees in a circular motion around them. With the initial failed counterattack, the team retreated strategically, navigating around the protruding, slimy-hatched eggs that were concealed beneath the mossy forest floor. With their feet feeling out if the ground behind them was safe and eggless to step on, and their eyes doing their best not to fall for the wolves' confusing hunting tactics, Timon noticed the wolves' revulsion towards the eggs, a revelation that sparked an audacious idea. Could these creatures be repelled by the solid egg sacs scattered around them? Right then, he felt a surge of inspiration. It was a bold, almost insane notion, but in this dire situation, they had to try anything. As Timon cautiously eased his sock off his foot, his hands trembled as he wrapped the sock around the long stick branch, sweat forming on his brow despite the cool forest air. Every nerve in his body screamed caution. But he knew this was their only chance, a sink-or-swim moment in this alien world. Initially baffled by his movements, the team and the wolves seemed to sense his nervousness. This caused most of the wolves to stop as they tilted their heads, ears perked up in an almost comical display of confusion. His heart pounded in his chest as he held the slime-coated stick pointed towards the two wolves closest to him. Mirroring the desperate hunger he saw in their gaze, Timon stepped out of the defensive circle they formed, slowly inching forward to the wolves, using the long staff-like stick to help his shaking body keep balanced while trying his best to mask his fear. His team, paralyzed by shock and fear, dared not move or make a sound. They understood the gravity of the situation. Any added commotion might spook the wolves into attacking Timon prematurely before he got into the ideal position for whatever he had planned. Their wide eyes remained fixed on the unfolding drama, each breath held in anticipation. As Timon took his next cautious step closer, which placed the wolves in this range, the wolves' behavior shifted from curiosity to something darker in an instant, more dangerous than ever before. They no longer tilted their heads in confusion, but arced forward low to the ground, giving the impression of a track star at the ready. Their eyes narrowed and their teeth bared in a menacing display of aggression. Each growl was low and harmonizing, making the surrounding leaves on the ground vibrate to life. The switch was as if the wolves had finally decided to see that these human intruders were a threat that needed to be eliminated, especially the one that dared to approach. The tension in the air became palpable. The forest seemed to hold its breath, awaiting the outcome of this daring experiment. Timon's own breaths were shallow and rapid, his palms sweaty as he fought to maintain control of the slime-coated stick. As Timon drew closer to one of the wolves, he hesitated briefly before attempting to place the slime-covered stick above its head. In that fraction of a moment, the wolves seized the opportunity, springing into action. Caught in this perilous situation, Mr. Major and Scott grappled with a difficult decision. Racing to Timon's aid might expose Toby or Ben to an attack, and the nuances of the situation were unclear. The wolves' aversion to the eggs remained a mystery to them, but Timon might have figured it out. From the way he was using the slime on the stick, it could be messing with their senses, or maybe it was something simple like an allergy or poison. In the heat of the moment, as Timon tilted his spear, the wolf before him sprang into action with breathtaking speed. Muscles coiled like springs, and in the blink of an eye, the creature lunged forward, launching itself off the forest floor. Its jaws clamped down on the spear, sending splinters of bark flying in all directions. Timon's instincts kicked in. With lightning reflexes, he thrust the spear forward, directing it straight into the gaping maw of the attacking wolf. The clash of forces was like a collision of titans, a battle between survival and savagery. But as Timon grappled with one adversary, he couldn't ignore the threat from the left. Another wolf was shifting its weight, preparing to join the fray. Timon's mind raced as he realized the precariousness of his situation. Removing the slime-covered stick buried in the first wolf's throat was out of the question. It would risk dislodging the cloth, and worse, it might free the still capable but injured and likely dying wolf on his spear, creating a deadly pincer attack. In the midst of this harrowing decision, with the weight of the attacking wolf bearing down on his spear, Timon's quick thinking kicked in. He pivoted the other end of his spear into the mossy ground, using it as a fulcrum to leverage the wolf's weight over his shoulder. In one fluid motion, he flicked an egg from beneath the moss, sending it sailing through the air. With two wolves affected by the egg slime, Timon's confidence surged. However, the wolves' howls signaled a shift in their tactics. They diverted their attention from Timon, seemingly waiting for another member of the group to break away. Timon understood the possibility of this being a ruse to lure someone else out of safety. The egg slime's effect on the wolves was evident, but their loyalty to the pack could override their aversion to the slime. Nevertheless, Timon remained committed. He had come too far to turn back now, even as the gravity of their situation weighed heavily on him. As the encircling wolves closed in on the team's position, weaving sinuously among the trees in a menacing circle, the first wolf that Timon injured, compounded by the slime effects of the slime, succumbed to its fate. It lay motionless on the forest floor, life extinguished. Its companion, also affected by the viscous slime, groveled on the ground in their direction, its eyes never wavering from the team as it struggled to get the slime off its fur. The wolves, with their hunger and aggression still smoldering, occasionally darted forward, probing for any opening, their calculated movements betraying their heightened intelligence. It was an unsettling standoff, and Mr. Major could sense that it was only a matter of time before they made their move, driven by their relentless instinct to kill. These alien wolves bore distinctive traits that set them apart from their earthly counterparts. Their seeming intelligence was evident in the way they strategized and circled, their formidable size adding to their menacing presence. What truly set them apart were the four distinct mouths that adorned their bodies, capable of producing a cacophony of growls and howls. The largest mouth, positioned at their neck and chest, spoke of their formidable nature. Covered in thick, navy blue fur, these wolves bore salamander-like external gills along their rib cages, an enigmatic adaptation that only added to their otherworldly aura. Timon, with a deep, slow breath, orchestrated their next move. He instructed the others to smear egg slime onto their clothing, emphasizing the need to avoid skin contact with the mysterious substance. Without hesitation, the team removed pieces of clothing and meticulously coated their attire with the slime. Mr. Major, however, was driven by an urgent curiosity. Did the eggs affect the wolves' senses, act as a repellent, or perhaps even a poison? The uncertainty of Toby's condition gnawed at his mind, and the unknown duration of the slime's effects hung like a looming shadow. With their makeshift weapons in hand and clothes adorned with the slime, they embarked on a slow and deliberate retreat deeper into the forest, where the ground was blanketed with the remnants of hatched eggshells. Their hope was that this repellent would keep the relentless wolves at bay. The journey through the dark forest was far from a run. It resembled a cautious, almost reverent, backward march. Each step was a delicate negotiation with the uneven terrain, their feet searching for secure ground. The plan was to lead the wolves further into the area strewn with eggshell remnants, hoping that the forest's own defense mechanism would deter their pursuers. Whatever the eggs were doing to their senses or life, it should create some distance and opportunity for the team.
Thank you for reading and listening to this chapter. See you next time on another episode of Chronicles of Meetum. Leave a comment and share your favorite parts of the story, your beloved characters, and your expectations for the next chapter. Your feedback will help fine-tune the upcoming episodes that I endeavor to write each month. Thanks for all the support, and I hope the next chapter will surpass all expectations.